Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, everyone's loving the awards show.
That's awesome. I love it.
KeithandtheGirl.com/awards. You could see the, you know, it's the last show we did, but also you can see all the years we've done those award nominations and the times that we've called the winners. That show will be, of course, we do the nominations that we just did. Then we call the winners later on. So you have 1 week to vote, and then we'll dial some people up.
Yeah, so there's still time to vote. Your vote counts. Yes. So vote for your favorite moments and reward it.
Here's Mallory Jane saying, nominations episodes are my absolute favorite. Only partway through, and this is really beside the point, but had to stop to commiserate with Chemda that I too am having pandemic dreams. So many dreams where I'm going to places and hanging out with people, but suddenly become aware that no one is wearing masks. And I don't know how to handle it, and it quickly turns into a nightmare.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And I haven't been having them, but I had one recently. And like I said, it had Voodoo Lulu in a relationship with Matt Bacchus and Adam Brown was there. And I think it's because I'm going through our list of guests to invite to our comedy marathon. That's in 2 weeks, by the way. So I think all these names are coming at me and then they got into my dream.
Yeah, I had a dream I was at a party with Armie Hammer. I don't know this actor. And then I saw in the newspaper that he's some kind of half a cannibal pervert. I'll talk about it. Don't worry. And I must have saw that on Twitter or something earlier. Now this guy's in my dream.
Boy, when Keith calls you half of something, half a cannibal pervert. Have you ever been called half a cannibal pervert? Guys, we have a new CatGo Award nomination section.
Right. This person, Jocelyn Geneva, says, LOLOLOLOL, how in the hell did I miss Chemda lighting little fires in the bathroom? It's the funniest thing I've heard of all quarantine.
I don't want to look at our guest's face yet after you read that.
You know how people like light a match in the bathroom when they're done? Chemda enjoys fire so much, and she's got to light a match anyway, that she will light toilet paper.
I used to light toilet paper.
What do you do now?
Well, Xerxes gave me a tin box that I can fuck around with so that I don't light the place on fire. So I don't light toilet paper on fire anymore. Now it's just the matches, and they go into the tin box, and then it can't spread. It also has a cover where I could just cover it really quick if it gets out of control. It's right by the sink. He thought of everything. This is the best gift that anyone has ever given to me, okay? You want to talk romance. My matches are in a good place. You got to feed your disease in very specific ways in order to help get over it, which I don't want to. Look, I have very little entertainment. I tried these Zoom stand-up shows, and they're tough, okay? We're going to go more for game shows and storytelling, I think, you know. But these little fires, I look forward to it. They get me out of bed sometimes in the morning.
KeithandtheGirl.com/VIP is where that show is at. Maybe that's why you missed it. Make sure you check those out. That was either last week on Keith and the Girl or a Newsy show, Q&A.
Or both.
Or both. Scorpion says, does anyone else listen to the CatGo Awards with a notepad? Yeah, you can find out the shows. I say the show numbers so you can go back and check out the whole show.
I love the notepad idea. I love it. Because you gotta give it a little score. You gotta take it seriously. These are the Oscars of Keith and the Girl podcasting.
The guy 2009 says we need to make sure the Goots wins just so Keith has to call him.
Oh, the Goots. Re-listening to that was a trip. Because it's just, you remember it a certain way and you're like, oh, I wonder when the anger starts, and you can see it started with a little bit of anger, and then with every question I just got madder and madder, and I did say, you mad bro? So I don't know if I was helping that fire.
It never helps, right?
When you say you mad bro while someone's mad at you.
Try to see if you're angry or not.
Sometimes fanning the flames just put them out is what I learned. So I don't know. You try things.
Pippa Mags is saying, oh my God, I forgot the Am I the Asshole episode where he didn't tell Keith and Chemda that he was the Am I the Asshole contributor. Danny Vega, of course. Oh my God, that was amazing. Between Keith's rant and Chemda laughing, I fell out of my chair cackling.
That's the thing. He didn't have to pretend the scenario wasn't about him. We will tell you the truth if you ask, am I an asshole?
Right, right. And then she continues, oh, Goots, that clip is so funny. The vibe between Keith, Chemda, and Wendy was exhilarating. He said, I think she can have a better attitude on your birthday. Laughing my ass off. Chemda asked, you mad bro, chef's kiss. And Wendy is a queen. I love her. Also, following that clip was Billy. That was so funny. And then Keith's ad read, I fell out of my chair. I give up. I sit on the floor now. No more chairs sitting until this is over. It was a lot of fun. Thank you. All right.
Billy Procida never fails. Never fails. I didn't know I get into so many fights with him, but every year there's a CatGov, me and Billy fighting. But every year I'm just like, this is cool. Billy's cool. He goes, you know, he rolls with the punches. He goes with whatever. Very, very sweet, nice, well-intended person. And then he says something and I'm just like, okay, tell me what you just said. And that's it. It's a fight.
Yeah. I don't know if it was kept in the award clip, but that segment started, I reheard, because he said, oh, I'm trying to fight less with people on the internet. And I said, oh, you're like, what kind of fights do you get into? And he goes, what? I don't really get into fights.
Okay.
And then we began.
Okay.
He goes, do you have some examples? I'm like, what? What? Are you a lawyer for yourself or not? I can't follow. So voting, of course, is at keithandthegirl.com/forums. You'll see it right there. And let me remind you of the Keith and the Girl Marathon. That is January the 30th. It's a Saturday, 24 hours, guest after guest after guest all over the world. It's going to be a hoot and a half.
Yeah, I'm starting to book it. Lots of people are available. It's very exciting. It's going to be over 50 guests.
How exciting. All right. So make sure you save the date for that. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest, you know her, you love her. We do. Her new show is a 4-episode late-night talk show on Hulu, up early tonight. Ophira Eisenberg.
Hi. I've never fought with anyone on the internet.
Are you able to play it cool? Like you see some stupid political comment, you're able to not care?
Yeah, you know, I just do that. I do the thing that you're not really supposed to do, which is I just go, great. Delete, block, report, mute, like all,
sure, I'm good with that.
All the things. Like, oh, I have tools to deal with this.
No, I think you're right. I didn't know we weren't supposed to do that. And I get, you know, blocking other people's point of view will just get you sort of like a more narrow yes. But I don't know. I kind of don't want the point of view of you're just a skank hunk bitch. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't need the hate. I don't need the focused hate. There's no need for that. Yeah. So it's just
like, I'll learn lessons, but if my lesson is that I'm just a slut bitch, I don't know what you're adding to my life.
Right. You're like, I know. What, anything original? Got anything original? Slut bitch. Right. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't get a lot of that, and I don't block for stuff like that because I'm like, I need to know what else you think about me down the line, you know, especially if it's something like, hey, you said this on yesterday's show. I'm like, hey, you quoting me is my favorite thing. So whether you like it or not, you still just quoted me. So my handle is at Chemda, that's spelled at Chemda, and you can quote me good or bad any day.
I like when they act like they're doing you a favor. Use a skank dumb cunt bitch. I ask if you want more information. happy to share. First Amendment. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, from hosting a show on NPR, I would get people, you know, a condescending tweet or Facebook message, what have you, correcting me. Just correcting me.
You know, I was wondering when you said when you said the people from NPR, I'm like, oh, what could they be doing? Like, they're not going to call you a cunt.
No.
Right. Corrections.
No,
oh,
no, no.
That's how they
come.
Yeah,
corrections.
Okay.
Either that, you know, we just got something wrong because it's a trivia show. So we got something wrong. And sometimes, you know, I have the information that we use that proves that actually they're wrong. But I just go, no, this person lived for this moment where they could tell someone that they were wrong. I don't want to take that away from them. It's all they have.
Oh, you are the Zenist bitch. That is cool.
Do you double up like, thank you so much?
Sometimes I do a thank you exclamation mark, smiley face. Like, just sort of like, ah, you know, just sort of like, I'm always like, I'm always Zadie, bah. Because I like the idea too of just approaching it like a form letter or anything that's just this caused no reaction. This caused the same reaction as I love your show. So, I mean, I've heard some really creative things. I think, is it Andy Kindler maybe who talked about that every time they got like a really negative critical message, not so much just like a tweet. They would reply back like, thank you so much for requesting to be part of the Andy Kindler mailing list. You know, we send out daily things, and the just always like they signed up as a fan.
And they write back, no.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you signed up twice. Thank you again.
Exactly. Thank you for your inquiry for gold status.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. You know what Keith taught me? When somebody really has no information, you're not working with them. You don't have to have a back and forth. There's nothing that needs to be solved. They're just sending an email of critique. And if I don't like it, I'm just like, oh, I have to return everyone's email. And he's like, no, hit reply. Write LOL and hit send.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
The longer their message, the better. Yeah.
The longer their message.
I mean, don't laugh your ass off like a dickhead, but just a simple LOL is good.
It's just so true. I mean, I know as someone who I've really gotten into, and maybe everyone has over the quarantine, I write really long text to people, which I used to be like mortally against. I was like, texting is not for, you know, like throwing all the real conversation in there. It's supposed to be for more quick things. But, you know, here we are. So I text with some people just like, you know, letters long. And when you do that and then they reply, thanks. You're like, fuck you.
It cuts the soul, right? Yeah.
I have been getting, so I sent out guest invitations to the marathon, and basically I say, click this link and just click on every hour that you're available so I know when you'd be able to come. And I try to keep it so short, like,
yeah,
here's what I need from you, but I really want to talk to you, so here's a nicety, you know, like,
yeah.
I know you don't want to read my email, right? So very few, and they're getting fewer every year because I feel like people are getting it. They hit reply and go, I'm available.
Yeah, I know. It should be a litmus test of just sort of like, who can't do anything? Let's see.
Yeah, but a couple of the people this year, I'm like, I respect you a lot.
Yeah.
I really want you to come.
Overload. It's hard. It's hard to tell where people are coming from this year. I'll just say that.
But okay, I'll give them that. But there's also like, it's so sweet. It's coming out of such sweetness. It's like, hey, I'm available whenever you want. And I'm like, oh my God, I could totally see why you would think that's better for me than being specific, because it's like, hey, I'm open for you, whatever. And I'm like, great, you got the 3:15 time slot AM, you know? Like, I don't want to.
Oh yeah, that's what you do. That's right. I'm available. Perfect. There you go. Just write back LOL.
Like, where did we last time we talked to you during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Where were you staying?
We were staying in Saugerties. It's like, you know, a little town near Woodstock, New York. So
right,
a couple hours out of New York.
And you're back in New York City now.
Yeah, we've been back for half of the summer and all of the fall. And here we are in January.
Right.
Tell me if I'm getting this right, because I'm getting this from a lot of New Yorkers. The rent has never really made sense to you, but now you have to really look around and go, I'm paying rent for this because you're in those walls all the time. So it feels like the rent went up, even though nobody's rent went up.
That's right. The emotional rent has skyrocketed. The only thing there's no upside to this, but when, you know, I guess you can outdoor dine this week if you wanted to, because it's kind of mild. But I think 2 weeks ago when there was like a mild spot, it was my birthday. So I was like, let's just try going out for dinner. And we did go to like one of the nicest places in our neighborhood that normally is very hard to get into, because they had a backyard picnic tables that they threw up a bunch of lights, and they threw up a couple of those outdoor heaters, and, you know, they didn't cut the price on the menu. It was still whatever, like, you know, $80 kind of a person. And we were in parkas and hats and gloves, drinking our cocktails and eating our food. And it was, you know, everything's spaced out, so they didn't have tons of tables, but every table they had was full. And it is, it does something about that I like. Something about that total insanity I like. And I just go,
you do like,
yes, I like it. I just go, this is hilarious. We're all so desperate. We will put on a snowsuit and sit in the back of, like, basically, you know, the spot that used to be beside the dumpster, which is now a Michelin star restaurant. Right. And pay top dollar for someone to bring us food we didn't cook. We'll do it.
Yeah, and I feel like people listening outside of maybe a bigger city. The thing is you guys get to dine outside all the time,
right?
We, like, for the most part, nobody has outdoor space at all. So to even just sit out there, just go, this is, I'm having a really great time. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. Are you having a happy birthday? Oh, I love it. Do you want a kiss or are you afraid that our tongues will stick? It's so good. Thank you so much. Yes, I'll take the $20 one shrimp prong. Yes, thank you.
Exactly.
Yes, thank you. I'll take it raw. Thank you.
Is that how this Hulu show happened? You're like, I got to do something, anything.
Yeah, well, that, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for mentioning it, actually. I really appreciate that. That was a casting director called me. It's a thing that happens, as it turns out. Never happened to me before, but this is how it operates now. So, I mean, with all of these walls and boundaries that have all just crumbled, and nobody feeling like there is, like, an industry, you know, it's funny how things maybe are working. Will it be better in the future? I can't tell. But I did like that. I just got a call from a casting director and they were like, hey, you know, like your stuff.
You're
doing
mom.
This thing. You're a mom. You have clips of that online that really work out. Want to be part of this thing? And I was like, yeah. And then they were like, great.
So you didn't have to audition. You got the part just like that.
The best.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. I have done. I guess two auditions in this world, you know, basically through Zoom, but a different product. And again, I was like, this is superior because I didn't get the jobs, but you know, what was cut out for me that I can't stand? The subway ride there where I'm basically losing my mind and telling myself I'm not worthy. Then the walk up into the casting room where you see all the other people that are you're auditioning mm-hmm. against who are all in their own weird head frame and look better than you. And you immediately assume that they're all better than you and they're going to do it. And you know, it's just such a mind fuck. And that was gone. Like basically I just sat there in a weird, you know, calm, blank screen for a while on a computer. And then the casting director came on and was like, all right, let's do this. And part of me was like,
it works.
Yeah.
It works when you can get high right before, you know, that train ride sometimes takes some of that edge away.
Exactly.
I would ask if I was the casting director, I'd ask you to show the camera like around your room.
Right.
I don't know why it's important, but I want to see how big that wine glass is next to you. I want to see, you know.
Yeah. Just put one leg into the screen. Put one leg into the screen.
Right.
See what's going on.
What would your character wear? Not those underwear, Ophira.
Are they?
He doesn't recognize that he's still on camera when he gets up. We have now seen him in his underwear so much. We're like, no, are you all?
Oh, there you go.
He just showed us his leg.
Their leg.
Did they, are people behaving when they're shooting stuff? Did they test you every day? That kind of thing. Does anybody care?
Oh, yeah. So when we did that shoot, yeah. So everyone had to, they set up a testing place, which was like an empty apartment, really nice apartment. I was like, really? This beautiful apartment in Williamsburg is a, anyways, I was like obsessed with it. And that's such a New York thing to be like, why don't we just live in this apartment that's a testing facility?
And the funniest thing is, like, as New Yorkers, when you walk into a room, I don't think anyone else would be impressed with it. It's like, oh, is this the size of the living room? That's probably the size of people's children's rooms and other places.
Exactly.
But then, fucking, if there's a brick wall, oh, exposed brick. It's almost like they didn't finish the place. When do I move in? It's amazing what we love about places.
Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Conveniently located by the subway. I'm like, it's going through my living room.
Oh my!
Yeah. You hear it, and you can get right on it.
We almost took that place. We found this amazing apartment. We did try to move during this time, but it failed, so we did not move. But we found this amazing apartment in Brooklyn that was a ground floor apartment, and it had this like kind of big backyard. The ceilings were a little low, so I went back another time because I was like, "Are the ceilings too low? Like, this will this make me feel like we're in a basement?" And I guess I didn't notice it the first time because we were, I think there was just a lot of chatter about the place. But all of a sudden, I just.
Plus, you probably got excited that you could be outside and still in your apartment. I'll take it. Yeah. How do we do this? It's
exactly.
Magic.
Exactly. And then I just heard this, like, you know, the windows were shaking, how loud. Yeah. And I was like, what is that? And I just saw the broker's face drop and she just goes, the C train. That's the C train. And I was like, "Oh yeah," and I was like, "Oh, it really does come every 8 minutes."
Yeah, I've caught landlords. I think they try to stick me in there in between subway rides. You know, like I have a spot open from 116 to 129. I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
There are. I live right outside the train. I definitely hear it. And I do have some outdoor space, and it is sort of like a low ceiling because you don't know that it's a basement, but the building has a basement, so we're not, but it has all of that. I took it because I just need my outdoor space, but it is interesting. The area around is luxury buildings. And when I tell you luxury buildings, I'm like, okay, these are $1 million an apartment for like a studio, one bedroom, very small. And yes, you're right by the train, but if you're affording these places, you're never taking the train. So why are you paying $1 million for this luxury apartment right where when I tell you can hear the train, and in these buildings, if you're on the third floor, you could see the people on the track and they could see you. You're on eye level. So this apartment on the corner has been recently fixed up, and then they posted a sign that it's for rent, and we had to call. We had to know what a new building during COVID right outside of the train will cost. Three bedrooms, and there is a three bathrooms, also very rare, $4,500. So if you are renting it with roommates, that's $1,500 a roommate to share a space where you could 100% hear the train whenever it comes through. And it does really run pretty often. And except on weekends. And yep. Where there's an announcement. Then on weekends, it's like, hey, by the way, the train's not running. It's like, we heard the announcement already. Shut the fuck up.
I'm going to tell my parents what I paid when I first moved to New York City. And I said something like blah, 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 a month. They go, a month? I thought you bought the building.
You know,
when these hicks, they were not so smart over here on the coast. They might be right.
You know, somewhat related. I used to do this all the time when I first moved to New York, but I borrowed it from a friend. Every time a check, you know, the check came to for your meal at the restaurant, just look at it and go, what, did we break a window? You know, that was the worst.
Your friend. Does he like Boris?
Yeah, it was very much like that. It was like, what?
But now, despite not leaving and people being Have in Hollywood, you still got COVID.
I did. I got it from my son got it at school.
Of course, at school. You know, I understand. I know this drives parents crazy, maybe me saying this, but I don't know how you're going to stop it if you don't stop it in schools, and how they pretend by separating kids. You know what kids do.
Yeah.
They lick each other hello.
Although I will say this. So here's the other side of that. So he got it.
Okay.
It was such a tight window because we were just testing all the time, partially for the school, partially because I was going to maybe have a job that would require me. So we just it was so strange because what happened was my son, we all tested negative on Wednesday. We're like, all right. And then on Friday, he had a low grade fever and was tired. And the teacher was like, come get him. So we got him, we brought him home. The next day, we all went to get tested, of course. And he tested positive And my husband and I tested negative.
Did you throw him in the room and say, this is what we tested for? You could take care of yourself. We're going to throw food in your room and you got this.
No, I actually, to be honest with you, I was so confused because other than school, we don't do anything. So I mean, I didn't know this side of me. I was like, the tests are wrong. I was like adamant about the tests were wrong. It took me a few days to just believe the reality. But it was like, no, that's what happened. And we were still negative. And I was like, oh, what is this going to mean? And then I just remember it was, you know, he had almost no symptoms, but he was a little tired and that fever went away pretty quick. But he did sneeze. He wasn't sneezing a lot, but all of a sudden he just sneezed. I was like playing with him on the carpet and he sneezed and I had my mouth open. He sneezed right into my mouth on Sunday. And I was like, well, that's it. That's it.
That'll do it. I don't need a test.
And the best is you can't respond. You can't be like, really, asshole? Right in my mouth. Okay.
You throw them like,
dang. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Just push them across the room.
So I went on Monday to get tested and I was positive, but I didn't have symptoms for like a few. I mean, I was just like, am I asymptomatic positive? And then I did get, luckily it was very mild, but I got a really heavy, like sinus cold, just congestion for 3 days. And, you know, was a little tired, but relatively mild. And then my husband tested positive and he had more like a,
well, cause you sneezed in his
mouth. Yeah. And then we're all right. There was that thing where it's like, oh, you know, so New York starts calling you all the time and you're in constant interaction with them because now you're quarantining. The school closed. Everyone had to get tested. You know, of course of course it was just assumed to me. Well, I didn't assume anything. I was like, did he get it there? Or I just couldn't figure it out. And it drove me crazy not being able to figure it out. And then
and now are you, I thought maybe you were scared that everyone's blaming you.
Oh, because... yeah, I was scared of that too, of course. And the school was like, listen, you know, this is like no one's blaming anyone. And at that, I just happened to have a doctor, my internal.
By the way,
medicine.
Sorry to cut you off, but isn't it interesting when the phrase nobody's blaming anybody comes up, you got to think like, wait. Why would you mention that if there's no blame being thrown?
You know, you're so
like,
right.
Keith, I'm not blaming anyone, but I had a pizza right before this. What?
Yeah, no, you're so right.
Why would you, right?
When it obviously was going through my mind, but then when it was brought up, I was like, it was a little like, well, what do you mean? Like, why are we having this discussion? But I understand. Anyways, so the masks and the distancing do work because at the end of that, everyone had to test. They, you know, did the super clean of the school. One other kid had it, no teachers, no other kids. And I assume that's because of the masks and the distancing and the hand washing and all the protocol. Otherwise, if everyone was just wandering around in a space, there's just no way. So that's how you know that shit does work. And, you know, New York State's calling you up all the time, although they totally dropped the ball. I'm sorry. New York City is calling you all the time. And the first call is like, hey, I understand this is really alarming, but you know, first they're going to send you a package. They tell you about this great free package they're going to send you. And you know what's in the package? Bunch of free masks.
Yes. Coupons from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Coupons from Bed Bath & Beyond. An IKEA couch. No, it's gloves, masks, hand sanitizer, and a bunch of at-home COVID tests.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know what? This is a value. Let me tell you something about that package. We're supposed to each get one. Never showed up.
Mm.
Never showed up.
Call your local representative.
Now, I happen to be, my doctor is an infectious disease specialist, just as it turns out. Lucked out with that. Didn't think that was going to be... But he was just like, yeah, you know, maybe we had the super, who knows? I can't tell anything. But now knowing that there's a super contagious version of COVID floating out there that supposedly has more minor symptoms, but is easy to catch. Because I said to him, I am so psychologically, now that I know that my son is fine, I'm just psychologically worked up about how this happened because I can't figure it out. I was like, was it that moment that I, you know, always masked, went into a store to buy a card? Was it that moment?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I didn't even have COVID. But when I am home and I sneeze, I'm like, oh, my God, was it that trip to the supermarket?
I know.
Did I breathe too close to the other person, even though they had a mask? Like, if that person is talking really loud, they're pushing out a lot of air. Does that go through the mask and onto me? Did I get too close to that person? I just start going through the mat. And then I'm just like, just take a shower.
Yeah.
Just go take a shower.
I know. And I, you know, and he said, he said one thing. He said, I have so many, and he goes, in the last week, I have so many patients who have told me the exact same thing, that they do nothing, they go nowhere, and all of a sudden they have it, and they are very confused.
Him.
No, no, we're talking on the phone.
But you all?
We're all talking on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No. And he suggested, sort of with a bit of a laugh, he was like, well, maybe you got it at the testing site. Right. Like, that seems...
Oh my God.
I have seen those lines for the testing sites, and the lines I've seen weren't 6 feet apart. I've seen it here in New York. You can get at the site, and then when they test you at the site, your symptoms didn't take yet. So the test really means nothing.
Yeah. All I know is we're all guessing.
Did your husband say, hey, we need to be in separate rooms now? Or is it like, look, if you have a cold, I'm getting the cold. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, we didn't even get there. It would have been smarter if we would have got there. But honestly, I don't know how that would have worked because there is no other room. So then one of us would have had to have moved to a hotel, which people do. And you can get a free hotel if you wanted. But then it was like...
But you spent all your money in, Socrates.
Free hotel.
There,
no, you get a free hotel. If you think you've been exposed, you can get a free hotel. If you, like, absolutely.
Life hack, pandemic style.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And this is how you really open a can.
Exactly. I don't know if it's the hotel of your choice. You can't be like, Marriott Bonvoy. You know, it's just going to be like, here you go. But I feel like, we both had to work, you know, from home, but it was like, so one person is taking care of our son and working while the other person is quarantining. I mean, you know, we didn't even get to figuring that out. And also because I had no symptoms for quite a few days, I had this idea that I was like, I think I'm asymptomatic. So I think I'm fine. And Jonathan also was like, I don't have any symptoms. And then we both had mild symptoms, but it never got worse. And I, you know, kept reading everything and talked to my doctor. And he was sort of like, well, you know, again, nobody knows anything for sure. But if you don't feel really bad, like at this point, you're probably not going to, you know, there's been exceptions to everything. So, yeah. And then I started Googling. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, at the time, was sex like extra dirty? Like, look what we're doing. Look the fuck we're doing.
Well, we always do it through a sheet. So it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Okay. Same thing.
That's how New Yorkers quarantine.
Yeah. We always have gas sheet. Masks on. And so it was normal.
I'm looking at a basketball player that was fined $50,000 for being at an indoor party. They're pretty strict.
Where?
To lose $800,000 in salary after attending because he won't be able to play the games. Kyrie Irving, NBA, fined the Nets star $50,000 for violating the league's health and safety protocols after he attended a private indoor party last week.
Who snitched?
Right. I get a picture. Everybody's taking pictures. Irving can return to the Nets on Sunday if he tests negative for COVID-19, but will forfeit salary for any games he misses due to the 5-day quarantine period.
Also, I don't know how you're a basketball player and you think you can hide at a party.
Right.
This is how Michael Phelps got caught smoking weed, which I thought was the most ridiculous fucking thing. Like, first of all, give him extra prizes because he was able to do all that and be on weed. Okay.
Right.
If anything. Yeah, that's not a burst of energy. I mean, it's a nice energy. It's, you know, maybe he's enjoying the water more and therefore can like really like, oh, this is great. Look at water, yes.
But he never just stopped and started like touching it. Yeah.
I am so good at this. Like, that would be great if you could just get yourself into the, like, I'm godlike at this. Just, yeah. Just, no one can touch you.
Like, I'm so glad I shaved because that feels extra good. Oh my God. Yeah. Is that what my skin feels like in water? Wow.
I'm going to have popcorn right after this. I'm going to have popcorn.
You are at a party as a person who is of interest to a lot of people. They're going to take pictures and stuff. So if you're not supposed to be there, be aware of who you're around because, wow, people will snitch on anyone.
And I'm assuming he wasn't at that party. Like, he was like, dum-da-dum, go to a party alone. Like, he was there with other friends or sports people or famous people or whatever.
Right. It was someone's cousin. You know, it was someone's cousin. Like, God damn it. I brought you to the party. You said you'd be fucking cool. And that was not cool.
Yeah. And now he's got to do an apology, of course. Like, now I realize what's wrong. It's been 10, 11 months. Now you realize.
Unbelievable. What's wrong.
You know what? When I invite people to a party, I like, you know, if you want to invite your spouse or whoever, if you want whoever you think like, oh, I was going to hang out with Sad, bring that person, whatever. My caveat is like, invite anyone you want who won't embarrass you. And that's it. Like, then like invite your mother.
Yeah.
If that's cool. Like, if you guys have a great relationship and it won't be embarrassing for you for some reason because that person knows how to behave, then I want to meet that person.
Right.
But it also puts a little tinge of like, if that person doesn't behave, we're looking at you because
that's right.
And I invited the people we like. Yeah.
Back when we could have parties, I started doing that. And I noticed the friends started bringing less people around. And that was only more offensive.
So who the fuck are you? What?
Yeah. Now you're saying you don't want somebody that might steal your pills. Okay. All right. I think I'll just come myself.
Okay. Oh, right. Parties. Parties.
Remember them? The days.
Now we miss somebody throwing up in our bathtub, right?
You know, there was I think it was a rumor. It was just on one of the New York publications that roll through with like, this is what happened in New York last night, that in the Brooklyn Navy Yard, I guess, is a site where they're giving vaccines to people that are eligible right now, and that they had a whole bunch of extra vaccines that were going to expire. That's why I say this sounds like a rumor. So last night they had posted like anyone who wants a vaccine, just like get down here.
You know what? Fuck it. Don't check on that. Retweet. If you're next to Brooklyn Yard.
Knock on the door.
I love that. Let's have a vaccine party. Hey, get down here.
I like that you were like, my Google's busy looking for something else, so I'll check on this later, but here it is for you.
Well, I was like, I'm pretty prone to just getting all worked up, obviously, as we all are. And I was like, do I want to read about vaccines going to waste right now? Do I want to read about like I don't want to go down that hole and now be worried about
that's fair.
Everything else. One worry.
So you just hit reply and wrote LOL.
Exactly. Yeah. And they were like, we'll be there.
Right. here's the fun story that I was that I alluded to. Armie Hammer. Now, I don't think Hendo would recognize this name. He's not mainstream per se. Do you recognize that?
I thought you were joking about Arm and Hammer or some kind of like, you know, relating to a different word I know. So I'm going to say no.
Well, he is a family member of Arm and Hammer, the guy that started Arm and Hammer. So he is
his name Arm and Hammer, or are you joking?
The guy that started it way back when was Armand Hammer.
For real? Because I can't tell if that's so cute or I want to throw up.
And the kid's name is Armie Hammer.
Okay, then you had to stop. You ran out of, that's it. No, there are Armand type names. Armand, I don't know. You can't name your kid Armie because it's just cute with your last name.
So he's probably the grandson. Armie Hammer. So some women are putting out the DMs and messages that they got from Armie saying when they dated him, and some of these relationships was like 2-3 months long, he's very emotionally abusive, physically abusive, but they don't mention the physical stuff per se, this kind of thing. And what made the news, though, specifically, is these messages that all seem to be about cannibalism and how he wants to eat the women that he loves.
You think he's misunderstanding what eating someone out is?
You've seen them with babies. People are like, I want to eat your toes. But right. He's like, I want to eat your rib. And it's like, okay, there's a difference.
You know? Oh, a rib. Oh,
I should stop saying some stuff. I'm like, oh, Xerxes, I love you so much. I'm going to kill you in your sleep. Huh?
Yeah. Well, love that. Murder.
If you said that to multiple people, then it's a problem.
So he wants he wants a nice he wants some ribs. He wants some nice barbecue ribs. Barbecue human ribs. Well, great.
How is he bringing that up so casually with so many people? Don't you have to check on things? Like, I don't know, people are afraid to bring that they have been married and divorced.
Oh my God, they don't even want to mention that they're vegan. Actually, that's not true. That's all, they're so proud of that. They don't even mention that other things. they have fake teeth or a limp or
I'd like to pretend me and the audience are a team, and I'm like, take it from there, guys. Okay. Here's messages. It's those one-sided messages. So he's rating everything. The woman didn't even have time to rate back. He says, oh my God, that just made me so, but we don't know what it is. That just made me so hard, and it makes me confused as to why. Is that even possible? So hard, thinking of holding your heart in my hand and controlling when it beats. I am 100% a cannibal. I want to eat you. Fuck, that's scary to admit. I've never admitted that before. I've cut the heart out of a living animal before and eaten it while still warm.
No.
So is this kind of the way you say it to Xerxes or different?
I have like a cuter tone, I hope. Now we got to work this out right after this episode.
More uplifting? No. Yours is more uplifting?
I mean, I do describe the way I'll, you know, because he's like, you can't kill me. I'm not scared of you. I'm like, I think you should be. You sleep around me like it's nothing. I came in. He's like, okay, explain to me how you're going to kill. I'm like, well, I can't give it away, but I can knife you in your sleep, for example. And he's like, you can't knife me even if I'm sleeping. I'm like, there's a knife in you already. You just woke up. And he's like, yeah, I'll feel you coming. I'm like, you sleep pretty deep. I mean, you wake up a little bit, but, or I'll punch you and then knife you. And he's like, you can punch me all you want. I'll still be here. Okay,
I'll figure this out. Here. That's the more threatening side of this. You can punch me all you want. I'll still be here. What?
meaning conscience.
I know. I'm just saying, like, you wouldn't even leave? You wouldn't even, like, move over?
Yeah, I'm glad we got more information. Yeah, Kendo was talking self-defense. Here's a sweet little message. Every time I have fucking someone in the ass since you, the only way I can come is if I pretend I'm fucking you in the ass. And the woman wrote back, really? And he wrote back, yes. Isn't that sweet?
Aww.
Just saying hi. Still thinking of you. Yeah.
That's so much info.
I mean, I love.
That's a lot of info. Even if I love you, I'm like, can you take a breath? Hold on. 1 second.
I have no idea what your face looks like and never have. But
I'm not responding, he says, to these bullshit claims. But in light of the vicious and spurious online attacks against me, I cannot in good conscience now leave my children for 4 months to shoot a film in the Dominican Republic. The film was going to be called Shotgun Wedding with J-Lo.
I'm sorry. Wow. Why are we feeling bad for you? What? How did you turn this around? What?
Right.
He can't. This never happened. He never wrote all these weird messages, but because of everything going on online, he can't leave his kids alone. So he's going to drop out of the movie of his own volition.
Didn't write them, but he's.
I didn't do it, but I will punish myself as if I did. If we can just end this.
Sure. Yeah, it looks.
But I definitely didn't do it.
No.
And I hope something like this doesn't happen every time I have a movie or I'm not going to be able to eat. But for now, I'll just drop out of the movie for now.
Well,
I said that I eat animal hearts.
Yeah, that's a hard story. That guy.
Oh, he's a hero. His children are so proud right now. And that's why he doesn't want to leave them. He's like, I just want to bask in the pride that my children are just emoting at me. Just a lot of lights, just ray of sunshine coming my way from my children's eyes. It's, I just want to be here for this moment.
Do you think if you like eating an animal's heart while it's still warm and like you go through therapy to try to deal with that, do you think they like give you like, you know, they're like, you can do romaine hearts, you can do artichoke hearts.
He's like, hey, when you get a turkey, can I eat the turkey heart? He's like, you can. Yeah, whatever comes, you don't fuck down.
Maybe they sit him down and go, have you considered liver? Because that's very popular.
Heart of palm. There's a lot of other hearts.
Another woman said, he said to me he wants to break my rib and barbecue it and eat it.
Has he watched?
For 3 months.
Has he watched The Walking Dead? Because that is where this inspiration sounds like it's coming
from. Oh, yeah.
I'm watching The Walking Dead, and people get desperate.
Yeah.
Here's another one. If I could, I would cut off one of your toes and keep it with me in my pocket. So I always had a piece of you in my possession.
Yeah, I don't like this theme.
Yeah, and why, you know, I don't know. Have you – so wait, real question. Cannibals, right? Mm-hmm. This yes. guy, cannibals. So what's the difference between just cutting off your own toe and eating it?
Oh, no. But you're totally willing to take my toe. Why is my toe more precious?
It's, you know, sex is still better than masturbating, you know?
Fuck. Sure, but people masturbate sometimes.
Your whole thing.
People masturbate sometimes, and that's what they do. That's what they do, because they can't get
this is a great debate. Yeah, back to you, Keith.
I guarantee his toenails don't look too good. You know what I mean?
Okay, he doesn't groom Ophira.
Well, I mean, listen, if you want, it's like
a little, there's a bunch of nibbling.
Yeah, he would trim a toenail, and that way it would look different from his own, and that way it would feel like the other hand. You know what I'm talking about, Keith? Like you do with the weak hand. You know, that same metaphor.
You saw the DMs I sent out. He's in the kitchen. You know, he keeps offering to cut food, cut dinner, you know, cut vegetables, and he keeps cutting himself, pretends it's an accident so he can suck it
right.
out.
Right.
He said he liked to feel the taste of skin between his teeth. Oh. Are women liking this? I guess not, because they turned them in.
Yeah, they were like, nope.
Keith is like, am I missing out on something that women are interested yeah. in? Because you should let me in on this. There's two of you right now.
If you're lucky, you found a freak. You didn't find a dozen. I know it's Hollywood, but
I am curious. I am curious if he is sending this out to multiple people. Did somebody go, oh, I found you.
Right.
This is great.
Maybe that is that number.
I have been I've been looking to get rid of this toe. Let me tell you something. Or he looks for people with like 11 or 12 toes.
That would be the way to go.
Huh?
Yep.
He reads about a conjoined twin. It's like, are they going to use all of that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks into a podiatrist's
when they separate
office
you.
For the client list.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what he does sometimes? He's like in the doctor's office, and they'll have like a, you know, a picture, like a model of an ear or something. He like eats it, and he's like, oh, it's like wax fruit. Like, of course, why would they just leave a human ear around? Idiot.
But the ear is always 4,000 times the size of a human ear for the model.
That's why he couldn't help it. That's why he couldn't help
the
it.
The biggest
That's
ear.
It's fucking huge. You ever see the big Kit Kat? It's fucking delicious.
You're right.
I can't say no.
It's very exciting when it's that big.
So big!
It's true.
I got a Mr. Goodbar that's so big, it went stale before I was done eating it. But still, it was exciting.
So big. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I did go into the Hershey store before COVID just to see, like, why are we going into a store where this is at every bodega?
Yeah, but right.
You go in. Yeah. And then because it's like, this is regular fucking chocolate. But then they get you because they do have those giant things. And it's like, oh, man, I don't like milk chocolate. Otherwise, I would be like in trouble. I would get a bar of chocolate the size of the entire me just because that's so funny. I'll eat it from the middle, then go like from one side to another. Like, how do you play it? Do you start in one way and just go? Do you slice it up like it's cake? Very excited. Oh, such a day. Do you guys remember The Outside? This is what I remember.
You're like, my fondest memory from before the pandemic. Was it hugging a stranger? No. Was it having a wonderful conversation with a good friend, like close contact? Absolutely not. Was it going to a large event, like a concert or some theater? No. I remember seeing a life-size chocolate bar and wondering, how would I eat it? Kit Kat.
I also wondered, a lot of this is for tourists, right? Yeah. It's in Times Square, and it's very kitschy, right? Where the fuck do you put your way home?
Yeah.
That is your backpack. Do you hollow it out during your trip and then put all your shit in there? Why is that fun?
I'll tell you what happens. You buy it. You take it back to your hotel room. Everyone goes like, fuck, here we go again. And then you're like, guys, we have to eat this before we leave.
You create a challenge for yourself. Oh, yeah.
So we played a game on Ask Me Another about different flavors of Kit Kat. And Kit Kat heard it or found it somehow. And so they...
Oh, I saw your Instagram about this.
Yeah, they got in contact with me and they were like, can we send you a bunch of Kit Kats? So I was like, yes, absolutely. And of course, my husband immediately was like, you know, there's this Islay, I'm saying it wrong. Maybe it's right. Islay whiskey Kit Kat that's available in Japan. Mm. See if they can send you that one. So now I'm like, thank you so much. Here's a request.
Sure. Your husband's right. Yeah. I don't like to say words like that, but he is.
Funny who the sponsors happen to be or this kind of thing, right? For Up Early Tonight on Hulu, Huggies is the sponsor.
That's right.
So you get, you know, it can't be Toyota. It's Huggies. No. You got 50,000.
Right, wipes. Right. If you have a sponsor of a bank, do they send you money for their merch? That would be great.
Right. So check out Up Early Tonight on Hulu.
Did you get the Kit Kat that he wanted?
No, because as it turns out, that the Japanese company is totally different from the American company.
Oh.
Yeah. So they were like, no, they sent me apple pie and birthday cake flavor and mint and dark chocolate and a mocha one and some of the big ones.
Holy shit. Yeah. Some of the big ones.
It worked out because shipping's like $1,000. You know, just save the box. It's worth it. Affair, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Follow Affair online. You're going to like what's doing. That's a fact. That's a fact.
I like what's doing. You're going to like what's doing. It's like,
don't forget, January.
Keith was raised on a farm. I didn't know that.
Kind of. Yeah. You don't think that face looks like it's been on a tractor before. Come on.
Don't forget, January 30th is the marathon. Mark your calendars. Be part of that. Subscribe now to our YouTube channel. That's where we're going to be showing it. So you want to be reminded. So, of course, you click that bell, subscribe, you know, that kind of thing. All right. And, of course, get your votes in for these latest awards, keithandthegirl.com/forums. You'll see everything you can vote for right there.
And say hi to Ophira online.
Say hi to me. Say nice things.
keithandthegirl.com.